Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. That's right. Right now, brothers and sisters, you got to know and believe and understand that you are blessed. You are blessed because God has so much in store for you and wants to use you to do his will. Well, we greet you with the love and the happiness and the joy of Jesus Christ. It is I, your host, Willie J. Van Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital and from Reconciliation Ministries, along with partnering with the Omega Ministry Group. We are so grateful for you joining us here for a wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. That's right. We are so greatly and so gladly appreciate the fact that you have decided to call in, those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. We thank God for each and every one of you. Well, without further ado, let us go into the word of prayer, because we understand the power of prayer. Lord God, we thank you. First of all, we just have an attitude of gratitude and just say thank you. We thank you for what you've done, for how you're doing it. Oh God, we know that we might not be deserving of it all or deserving of any of it. But because we are your children, because we proclaim you as our Lord and our Savior, we surrender it all to you. We thank you, Lord God, for how you have kept us, how you have watched over us. We thank you how, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we would be. So, Lord God, we just say thank you. We ask that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to abide with us. We ask that you continue to allow your words, your thoughts, your wisdom, your ideas, your understanding to flow through me to your people. Lord God, we understand that it is not I, but it is you who work through us. We're nothing more than conduit, than a tool in your hand. So, Lord God, continue to use us that we may bless your people. Oh God, allow them to know that you love them, that you strive and push them so that they can have a better relationship with you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you personally for what you're doing in the lives of me and my family. I thank you, Lord God. I give you honor, I give you praise, for you're so worthy to be praised. We say this all in the name of your Son, my Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are so thankful again to each and every one of you all. Let me just say this now, that we are so appreciative for Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife Tammy Storr, for the leaders of the Omega Ministry group. We thank God for them. We pray covering over them and all those who share on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We can go ahead and just read your word. Let me just say also before we go into tonight and read your word, if you, because this is about participation, we want you, if you are listening live, you can press one on your phone, and by pressing one on your phone, then you can, I can identify that you have a comment or question, or you can send me an email at jayvann91. So we just ask that you participate, that you get involved. Again, if you have a question or comment, we ask that you would definitely come in and restate it. Tonight's lesson comes from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Excuse me. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Thus begins the reading of God's word. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, dear friends, I plead with Judah, and I pleaded with to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, we have read unto your hearing chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. If I had to have a, as some have seen with the title, and I wasn't able to type it all out, but practice, we talking about practice? In the 80s, there was, and 90s, there was this basketball player out of Norfolk, Virginia, who came to play for the Georgetown Hoyas, and his name was why did his name just escape me? Allen Iverson. Wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. Allen Iverson, AI. Was his nickname. And he used to play for this coach, Hubie Brown, well-renowned coach, played for the 76ers. But one day he decided he was not going to come to practice. He figured he knew all the plays. He had been with the team, the 76ers, long enough. He was a star veteran. And instead of coming to practice, it was never known exactly what did he do. But he decided that I'm going to skip practice for today. Now, because of the NBA, The NBA has strict rules and regulations about coming practices, coming for appearances with the press or with media. And it was really ironic that during this time, Allen decided that he was going to miss practice. Well, the coach decided that in order to retaliate and to reach and to teach Allen Iverson a lesson, that he would not start the basketball game. Now, any of us understand and know that when someone misses a basketball game, then because of their own issues or concerns or problems not relating to your mental health or physical health, so he decided to miss practice. The coach decided to fine him and not allow him to start in one of the basketball games. So he was not able to get paid as much as he normally would because of the way his contract was strict, were created. And that's really for any other football, basketball. Usually if you don't play on the game day, then you got to really have somebody that will love the game. So Allen decides to hold a press conference, and he gets into this rant and saying, "I am a veteran player. I know all the moves, know all the plays, and it's not as if I missed a game because I wanted to miss a game, but it doesn't give Hubie the right to not allow me to start." And his thing was, yes, you're absolutely correct. But I can't have Hubie Brown, that is, saying that, yes, you're right. But if you miss practice, then everyone else is going to feel like they can miss a practice. So they go back and forth and exchange words and say, and it's funny that AI decided to miss this practice, but later on during his career the same year, that here he is saying, okay, it's just about practice. But during that same time, you have this young man on the West Coast that decides that they want to practice, he is going to practice hours, literally hours. So his name was Kobe Bryant. And Kobe's philosophy was, hey, I need to practice. And I need to practice so much that whatever happens or whatever my reaction is going to be that of, I'm going to say, he decided that missing practice was not what he wanted, that he was going to practice so much, so many hours before the game, so many hours after the game, and he would try and practice different scenarios. And his philosophy was, if I practice the scenarios now, when it comes time for the scenario to happen, I would have already know what I can do and what I can't do. So, in my feeble explanation today, I wanted to challenge you, as Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, about practice. He writes to them, not saying that he has to practice, but he writes to them because he wants them to put into practice this new way of living. And that this new way of living is what God wants us to do. So he writes these words, and there are five areas where Paul is urging his friends, the church at Philippi. In verse 9, it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen into me, put it into practice. So, before he says that, he speaks about five areas or five things that we ought to practice, not just the church, but that we ought to practice ourselves. The first thing he mentioned is reconciliation. And you all are asking, where is he talking about reconciliation? That's in verse 2 and 3. It says, I plead with Yuda, and I pleaded with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. And Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So the first area that Paul speaks about to this group of people, he's talking about reconciliation. He's dealing with the fact that when you have worked, when you have sweated, and you have decided that there were people along the way that helped you, that guided you, that there were people that loved you and that assisted you, then you have to go on and say, hey, I need to make sure that these people that I have worked with, that we have a relationship with each other, that we are working with each other, that we are doing what God wants us to do, and that we ought to always strive for reconciliation. In verse 4, He talks about joy. And let's read it. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. So he is telling the people how to conduct themselves and how to go about and live. First, he talks about reconciliation. Reconcile ourselves with people. And then he says that we ought to have joy. The third thing that he urges the people to do, and he is urging us to do, is to have gentleness. And that's found when we look at verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. So when we are dealing with people, when we are living and conducting ourselves, there ought to be a gentleness about us. One of the things that I always admired about people and about the church or about the kingdom is that no one is that there is a love, a general love for one another, but no one is beating you upside your head trying to make you do something that you should not do. Now, yes, there used to be a time where people was preaching fire and brimstone, and they was telling you all about the things that you were doing that was going to make you go to hell. But when you look at the kingdom of God today, you see that there is a gentleness that their reaction to the world. And so it is for us. There is a gentleness. We ought to conduct and interact with the world and relate to the world. People who are not just in the world, but everyone around us with gentleness. The fourth thing that he wants us to look at, because we talked about reconciliation, we talked about joy, he says in gentleness, and now the fourth is prayer. And that's found in verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious. I'm sorry, I just got a text. It says, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that this is a this is how we ought to pray. This is how we, when we are talking to God, that we present our petitions, our requests, and make them known to God, and understand that those petitions, those requests, should make us better. And it should remind us of who we are and who God is and our relationship to one another. And then once you have prayed, then there is a peace that we ought to obtain by giving it to God. Jesus says that we ought to bear our burdens onto him, that we ought to connect our burdens to him. We ought to give our burdens to him. our issues to him. Our prayers, our people that are worrying us or that we are worried about, we ought to give them to God. And that only makes sense because since God created them and created us, why not go back to the one who created us? So this is another area that we ought to practice. You ought to put into practice reconciliation. You ought to put into practice prayer. Excuse me. You ought to put into practice joy. You ought to put into practice how we live and gentleness. Fourth, we ought to put into practice how we pray. And the fifth thing that we ought to put into practice is focus. And that's dealt with in verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, we need to realize the fact that because despite whatever situation or circumstance, we ought to do these things. We ought to practice this lifestyle. And we understand that Paul is writing this letter to Philippi from the jailhouse, from prison. So if he can be in prison and writing to the church, and then in reality writing to us from a position where you normally would be looking out for yourself, you would feel down, you would feel like, you know, I don't care nothing about nobody, but I got to look out for me, myself, and I. But yet he writes and says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. And let me read the New Century translation, because the New Century version, rather, use some different words. It says, verse 8, brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you have learned. Again, this is our main verse. Do what you have learned and received from me, what I told you, and what you saw in me, and the God will give you peace. And the God who gives peace will be with you. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that even from prison, that he can encourage us, just like he encouraged them, to practice. And when you look at the word practice, it just means to repeat over and over again. And we understand that practice prepares you for the real life situation. Again, Allen Iverson talked about practice and said, I don't need to practice because I know it all. And he was an excellent Hall of Famer, but it brought about a wrong kind of mindset. Because it talked about what I am and me being at the top. Instead of having this mindset like Kobe Bryant, who says, I have to practice because each and every day I need to continue to prepare myself and be ready for any type of game situation. We just came out of All-Star Weekend in Atlanta, and if you saw the game, it was really just about just, you know, it was really no defense, and they was just shooting. But all of those players will tell you the only way that they were able to become an All-Star is because they spent many hours in the gym practicing. And so when they spent many hours in the gym practicing for the game, they was ready for any type of situation. And just as Paul is sharing with you or sharing with us, I just want to share with you, again, these five things that we ought to practice. We ought to practice reconciliation. We ought to practice having joy. We ought to practice being gentle or having gentleness. We ought to practice in prayer or our prayer life. And then fifth, we ought to practice being focused. Being focused on God and knowing that when we are focused on God, then He will bless us. He will continue to use us. I was told that if you do any habit for a series of 30 days, or if you do something consistently for 30 days, it becomes a habit. And then that habit becomes a lifestyle. So I ask you, what is your lifestyle? Do you show reconciliation? Are you ready to always reconcile, to ready to forgive? Is your lifestyle exemplary of having joy in it? Or are you always have an attitude? Does your lifestyle represent a gentleness? Or are you always trying to be forceful and make people do it your way and your way the only way? Do you have a lifestyle of prayer? Do you have a lifestyle that when you hear a bad report, instead of giving in to the report, you just start praying? Or when you get a bad report about someone else, instead of talking about them, praying, P-R-E-Y, you pray, P-R-A-Y. And last, do you have a lifestyle that's focused on doing the will of God? Lord God, we thank you for this time of study. We pray that you will continue to bless us and continue to give us what we stand in need of. Lord God, we understand that there is times that we must practice. We must practice a lifestyle that is pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord God, for practice because we know that practice prepares us for the game. And this is the game of life. we understand that what we do in private will show up in the public. So allow us, Lord God, to always live a lifestyle that is pleasing to you, so that we can show the world that you are alive and doing well. Lord God, we give you honor, we give you praise in everything we say and do. In the name of your Son, our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my sisters and my brothers, again, we are so appreciative for you joining us here. We still have time that if you desire to make a comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and I will be able to recognize that you are ready to make that comment. We have 1 last 4 numbers, 7472. Your mic is open.
Well, good evening, my brother. I thank and praise God for that word on today. You did an awesome job with illustrating the word of God, and I thank God for this word. I love the way that you used the illustration with Allen Iverson about practice, because practice is important, and that's what we need to understand, that practice is important for performance, that if we want to perform on a certain level, that we have to practice. It brought me back to remembrance. Allen Iverson, it cost him a game from missing practice. But if you recall, David Ruffin, one of the best singers in the Temptation groups, it cost him his job because he didn't want to practice even though he was good. What Paul is trying to get us to understand, too, is that practice is for performance, not only for us, but for our other teammates. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And that's one of the things that I think that Kobe understood, because he was always at practice and always practicing on his own. He would get there early. But practice is not only good for our individual performance, but practice is good for a group performance. That when Kobe goes to practice, that his teammates get to play against one of the better players in the NBA. And because they get exposed to playing to that level, then it sharpens their game. So practice is that not only for that individual, but it's for the teammate. That's why I think Paul says, do practice what you see me do. Paul's not saying be like me, do it exactly like me, but what Paul is saying is that you need to get to this level of walking, when you're walking with Christ, get to the level I'm at. And we can do that and help pull each other up by going to practice. That's it. That's all I wanted to share with you. God bless you, my brother. Keep up the good work.
Amen. Amen. What's going on, Pastor? How you been, man?
Man, I am hanging in there. I'm recovering. I feel better today than I did yesterday, so I thank and praise God for that. And I thank and praise God that I was able to dial in on the line tonight, because this was a powerful message, and I thank God for that word.
Thank you, man. Thank you. We are definitely just trying to strive to do what God is calling us to do, man. Thank you. The next person, your last 4 numbers is 1261. Your mic is unmuted.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Van, how you doing once again? Great
Dr.
class.
Neil.
Yes, sir. Great class tonight. Once again, I love your points, reconciliation, joy, gentleness, prayer, and focus on God. And, you know, it's very, again, other pastors talked about Ivan Harrison. I want to just interject and simply say practice brings about humility, because when you practice with everybody else and you continue to practice, it's not saying you're better than they are, but you're simply saying that I'm not too high that I can't practice, you know. And I think that's a key point when we talk about prayer. Prayer is important in our lives. You made a great point in regards to, you talked about what is your lifestyle. You said, is your lifestyle reconciliation? Is your lifestyle joy? Do you have joy? Or are you always mean and and disgruntled. And you talked about just being gentle. Are you gentle? You know, so a lot of time we, you know, I myself particularly speaking, you know, I'm always trying to get things done. So I have a propensity not to always be gentle, but something that I'm always trying to focus and get done to be gentle. So this is a great message, you know, and I think it's important also that we learn to put prayer in our life, not talking about nobody, but I think we need to examine ourselves. And those key points you talked about, it's let a man examine himself and put those things in his life. Then I don't have time to worry about, are you being gentle? Are you being prayerful? Are you focused on God? Because I need to focus on God for myself. God bless you. My love for you. Great class.
Amen. We praise God for these two great pastors that have spoken. These are my older brothers in the ministry. I am so appreciative for both of them and how God used them to bless me. I look up to them as they continue to stand for the cause of Christ. As I was even looking at this and talking about practice, there have been times in our lives that we, and I'm guilty myself, where I have just assumed that I knew the scripture, that I knew what the scripture read, or what was the meaning of the scripture. But it was based out of a arrogance and sometimes a laziness of myself. But then when I submitted to the will of God and really went and studied the word and really allow myself to go at the word or look at the word with no preconceived notions, that's when God was able to give me new revelation about his word. So, and I've seen both of you all do that, and I've seen other preachers, but sometimes it doesn't make sense until you do it yourself. So I thought about that. I thought about this practice. Again, I am so grateful that God has blessed us all. God is continually using us and healing us. And I thank God for you all. If there's anyone else, let me just say this. If you want to hear this type of teaching and more other teaching, you can tune in to the same phone number every Monday night from 8 to 9. You can hear Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife Tammy Storr. You can hear them minister about oneness from 9 to 10. Minister Leah Killings, a mighty powerful woman of God. She's on from 9 to 10, right after the Storrs. It's yours truly every Wednesday night from 8 to 9. And then Elder Jason Felix out of Detroit is from 9 to 10. Mighty, mighty man of God. On Thursday nights, you have Bishop George Flint. We thank God for him. And he's on again from 8 to 9. And then every Sunday night, Minister Amos Joseph Collins is on from 6. Yes, he told me 6 o'clock. From 6 o'clock to 7 every Sunday night. And let me just offer this. Maybe there might be a God is calling you to want to share a word on, and maybe you want to join the Blog Talk family, Blog Talk Radio family. Please, you can reach out to me. You can give me a call, or you can send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. There is a young lady, thank you, Holy Spirit, that I need to reach back out to who is interested, but we have room available for you. We thank God for every person that shares and those that used to share. We got room for you to come back and share again. Again, we are so grateful and so thankful to each and every one that comes on and is used of God. Again, we thank the Lord for each and every one. I'm going to go out. What am I going to play? Thank you. I'm not sure. Yes. Okay. I apologize. I normally would already have a song picked out, but tonight I did not pick out a song, and I had to kind of scroll through and see. Okay, I'm going to pick this song. I don't know the song. We thank God again for you all. Please, you can call back in at the 9 o'clock hour to hear Jason Felix out of Detroit. Again, mighty man of God. I am so appreciative for him and how God is using him. So, tune back in, and as always, peace and love, Willie J. Van Jr.
Thoughts stay on my mind, living.